I used to see patterns in how people behaved and what illnesses they had. When you're a child in a stressful home and your parents are screaming and yelling or there's abuse or whatever, you're already in a chronic state of fight or flight at such a young age and starts messing with your hormones, starts messing with your cortisol levels, starts messing with your immune system. You go to the doctor and they're just like, here's a pill. They're not asking you what's actually going on. They're not asking you if you've had chronic stress for 20 years. They just say stress, like they know stress is an issue, but they can't break it down to be able to fix it for you. If you have a heightened cortisol and heightened fight or flight response, your immune system starts to decline over time. So then if you have a declining immune system, what happens? Do you get sick more? You get allergies, food sensitivities, anything can happen. Anxiety, depression, it kind of just starts spiraling.
Amanda, thank you for coming on the All for Nothing podcast show. I don't know where, honestly, to start with you. I don't really know where to start with most guests, to be honest with you. We were just having a really good conversation before we went live, and you have a lot of cool stuff to share. I think inspiring stuff to share, valuable stuff to share, and apologies, because you might be hearing my dog a little bit in the background. I've had quite the adjustments on my end in life. So I'm excited to do this. And I also appreciate your grace and gratitude, because we have to reschedule this. And so, yeah, let's dive in. Let's dive in to what you have going on. Maybe share a little bit about yourself as far as, you know, what you got going on.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. And congrats on moving to the East Coast. You ready for the chaos? I don't know if you're ready for the East Coast lifestyle. It's intense here.
It is much different, to say the least.
So I'm Amanda Vargas. I'm 38. I'm from New Jersey. And I'm probably best known for my work in health and wellness. I did a TED talk in 2016 about diet change after being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis when I was 21. MS is a degenerative neurological disease, and getting diagnosed really young kind of changed my life. When you kind of have your mortality meet you at such a young age, it just changes how you see the world. You know, you obviously go through something really depressing and difficult for a while, but if you're lucky, like I was, you kind of pull yourself out of it and you end up turning the bad into something good. So fortunately, that's kind of what I did with my life. I've always been really into helping other people. I've run special needs camps throughout the years. That was kind of my heartfelt project for a long time. And in 2017, I opened a health food restaurant in New Jersey called Fettle and Fair. And we catered to all sorts of food allergies, health issues, because I had a really hard time finding places to eat once I cut out gluten, dairy, soy, processed foods. And so I had to just open my own place. So I did that for 6 years. I exited last year, which was really exciting for me. I really wanted to do something new and different. And obviously the restaurant business is tough, so I didn't want to stay in there forever. And now I definitely help a lot of entrepreneurs with chronic illness. That's kind of my big passion project now. I've seen over the years that, because especially due to stress, a lot of entrepreneurs very slowly start to decline without realizing it, and can really ignore very small changes in their health that grow over time. And I've definitely learned the hard way that if you don't take care of yourself, you know, then there's no business to be had and no money to be made. So that's what I do there. And I also have a small marketing company where actually I have a local podcast, and I create tons of content for small business owners, and I try to get their message out there, because that's also a big thing I love to do, is bring out the best in other people.
Yeah, I'm biased on this. I'm sure you are as well. I think podcasting is by far one of the best, if not the best way to build and start a business and scale a business, right? Through connection and relationship like this. Like I was telling you, if no one listens to the show, right? Like, obviously that's not what I want, but if I'm able to build a connection, a relationship with the guests, like that's what business and that's what life is all about, is helping people and having good relationships, right? Whether you agree on things or you disagree on things. But when it comes to, I mean, health as well, right? Like that's what you've learned in your journey. And unfortunately, you've had quite a few hurdles on the health side. But what you've discovered is turning that pain into purpose, right? And turning the purpose also into profits as well, to say, well, I could be into my circumstances, or I could take it upon myself to learn something that is maybe a little scary or fearful to people. It's similar in my opinion, like health is a little similar in terms of, and I guess you could say anything out there as far as a specific topic or industry, but like almost like money and financial literacy, where if you get diagnosed from a doctor, you're like, well, that's a doctor, they're a professional, and I can't argue or do more research, I'm going to do as they say, right? Similar to, you know, maybe a financial advisor or guru or an expert, I put in quotes, air quotes, you know, it's something that's not taught to us in school, right? So people usually avoid it because it's fearful, and or it's something that could be a little bit more complex than what meets the surface. So I preface all this because you had mentioned chronic illness, and you had mentioned specifically with entrepreneurs, you had mentioned stress, you had mentioned in a roundabout way, in my opinion, just like what it means to be an entrepreneur, and just in modern times with social media, with all the things that you can't really measure on paper or really measure doctor's office that comes with being an entrepreneur. So shed a little bit more light on what you discovered over the years with chronic illness and how people are chronically ill in modern times, and what people can do to, you know, identify what's wrong with them and you know, have solutions.
Yeah. So I think we're in our age group, right? Probably 35 plus. It's really common for us to say, oh, we're just getting older. You know, we're not in our 20s anymore. So if we're extra tired, or our joints hurt, or our appetite changes, or we gain some weight, our hair starts falling out. Like for women, your menstrual cycle changes, mood changes, like all these things that we just think are like mild day stressors or normal, over time can build to things that are not normal. And are, it's your body telling you that something's wrong, especially anxiety and depression. That was a really big one for me. Before I got diagnosed with MS, I had so much anxiety at 20, 21 years old. And I didn't understand why, because my life was amazing and I was really happy. And so I couldn't understand why I was having these physical feelings of anxiety. And in my last 20 years, I have found that anytime something was wrong with my health or an underlying issue was kind of creeping up, anxiety would show up again. So for me, that was kind of something that I didn't pick up right away. And for a lot of people, I mean, anxiety is so big right now. Everybody has it in some capacity. And I found that for most people, it's usually some sort of nutrient deficiency. No one really takes a decent amount of magnesium. It's needed for over 300 processes in the body. So like 500 milligrams of magnesium glycinate a day is pretty mandatory for most people, but especially if you're an entrepreneur, because the second you have a high stress situation, magnesium gets soaked up, right? So I think people don't realize that when you're in chronic fight or flight, especially as a business owner, from the first day I signed my lease for the restaurant, I've been stressed out. You know, for the 7 years until I sold it, I was stressed out every single day and didn't realize it, because it's just, it becomes normal. It becomes your day to day to just feel elevated. And when you have prolonged raised cortisol in your body, so many things can happen, right? It affects your adrenals. And, your hormones are all connected, right? So it affects your blood sugar. It could, again, for women, affect your cycle, and affect your testosterone as a man too. And so if you don't understand your labs and what they're supposed to look like, and compare it to how you feel, and kind of, you know, just be aware of that, it can really lead to a lot of damage long term. So for me particularly, I also had some other stuff going on. Like I had root canals. You know, we could go into this a little bit later, but root canals are not good for you. They essentially leave dead, dying tooth inside of your body, and your immune system is responsible for keeping you safe, right? So when you have something that's dying inside your body, it's attacking it and it becomes toxic to you. So I had bad root canals from like 15 years ago, making me super duper sick for months, and I had no idea. Once I got them out, I was better. But there's all these things that, you know, really go into our health and long term that we need to be aware of and just be conscious of, especially as an entrepreneur, because your stress is much higher than everybody else's. Anybody who has like a cushy six-figure job that's, you know, enjoying their weekends off and all that, like we just have a higher, we have a higher tolerance for it, definitely. But at the same time, you know, we're still human and we can definitely be affected. And it's such a slow, gradual decline that we often don't notice it.
And I think what you had mentioned, stress is not necessarily success, right? When you're an entrepreneur, oftentimes you are maybe stressed about getting clients or building a team and ultimately growing your revenue and profits, and that can be stressful. So every time that you have a very busy day and maybe you collect some money on invoices and it can be a stressful day, you're like, well, hey, at least I made money and I don't work for him or them or whatever, right? And I can control my schedule. But if you want to be an entrepreneur, we both know that you're going to go from a 9-to-5 to a 24/7, 365. Right. And stress is not success, right? And I'm one to say that because I tore my Achilles a year ago. And not to go down like the whole, you know, symbolic spiritual side and all the details behind the scenes, but it was a very like symbolic injury.
Tell me, because I'm actually really big into this. Like, what changed in you, why was it so spiritual for you?
Yeah, so it was spiritual because are you familiar with Achilles and the like Trojan War, right? And Achilles was conqueror. He was the one that, you know, led the way, led the charge, and he could basically handle anything. And that's how I felt. And that's where I was at in my life as far as, you know, as partnerships and just being an ultimate professional people pleaser and people taking significant advantage of that. And there was a lot of signs along the way that I knew that I just ignored. And that was ultimately what led to me actually starting the podcast, as well as this idea that most people, and in reality, it was like my subconscious mind talking to myself when I was working with ayahuasca and plant medicine for the third time, which is most people just do things all for nothing, right? They work their whole lives. They try to make all this money, and then ultimately it goes back to health, medical expenses, or they're building somebody else's grand vision or idea. They're going day in and day out and have nothing to show for it. Or majority of the time, if you actually do have something to show for it, over, I believe, 70% of the time, if I'm not mistaken, it returns back to poverty within the second generation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so the beautiful part about humans, it's a benefit and a negative, is we have amnesia. We forget how the pyramids were built, you know? So in reality, what I had to really just push through was, dude, no matter if you are successful and make X amount of money, I'm confident in my ability, my skill set to make more than enough money to live a very good lifestyle that no one gives a fuck, you know, because people just forget. And so if I can just lean all into making sure that I don't do it all for nothing, I can share that message and make sure people are running their own race by running my own race, then all that stuff will take care of itself. So I was playing basketball with my brother, took a cut, felt something. And I was like, well, I don't think that's supposed to happen. And I knew immediately, like my gut knew immediately, over probably about a year and a half period of time of these previous partnerships, of these previous situations, signs were just popping up of like, that doesn't feel right. That doesn't seem right. I'm pouring into these people, basically building their grand vision off the sweat off my back and reputation. And in due time, you know, it's all going to show, right? But ultimately, that's unfortunately what had to happen. I had to tear my Achilles because I had to become vulnerable. I had to go live in the darkness for a minute. You know, I had to go more inward to say, I'm not doing this for anyone else other than me. And if you have a problem with it, I could really care less, right? So so that's a little bit of the details, a little long-winded. But like, I mean, the Achilles, if you don't have your Achilles, you know, which in my opinion is the most vulnerable piece of a human body when it comes to tendon, and it's connected to everything and keeps you grounded. I needed to get grounded again. I needed to be able to go inward. I needed to be focused on me, because there's no matter what, right? Like if you can carry the world on your back, like I think I can, I have the most endurance in my personal opinion than anyone else out there. Well, none of that matters unless you have your Achilles, right? So a lot of development over the last year.
Two things that you make me think of. One is the world, the universe, God, whoever gives you so many signs when you're not on the right track. And if you stay on the wrong track for long enough, bad things will happen to you. And that was definitely something I experienced. I, you know, when I was post COVID, like 2021, 2022, I was being pushed out of the restaurant industry so hard. And I felt stuck and, or, you know, yeah, I can't do it yet. My customers need me, until it just pushed my body to a point where it broke, right? Kind of similar to you. So I think people tend to ignore those things. So if you're someone going through that right now, pay attention. Sometimes it feels like it's too hard to pivot, but it's not. It's hard. It's just harder in the long run if you don't. So figure out, you know, your next steps, or have some sort of exit strategy or plan in order to.
And I think COVID was a good indicator, especially you being in New York, being a restaurant owner. Like, holy shit, that's like two of the worst things.
Jersey, you know, I'm like.
All right, so that's a little bit.
Close enough, but I mean, that's all their animal out there. But because they got shut down, we got shut down, but I worked the entire time by myself. I had no staff, I think. So there is, you know, everybody's got a COVID restaurant story, but so.
But I think it's good because it teaches you that. I think the biggest lesson is we would all go back if we could do it all over again and do something different, and obviously not living in a good mindset. But I think the reality of at least what I learned from COVID is at any given time, whether it's real life adversity and or self-adversity that you put yourself through, like you can literally change your moment and you can change your circumstance and you can change your direction that you want to go right here, right now. And if people don't think that, it's like you never would have thought that the world would have closed down. You never would have thought that they could have told us these specific rules that we have to follow. So I think it's a good indicator not to dwell on it, not to go down that whole journey of COVID and all what that comes with. It's just the big idea of it's actually in a sense of good thing if you want it to be. And that's really what victim mentality is all about, right?
Well, I mean, I think what COVID showed a lot of us was fake entrepreneurship, because how many people could have hang in for thousands of reasons, right? Whether it was just your time to retire or you just financially couldn't figure it out. I mean, a lot of people just got so screwed in so many different ways. But at the same time, I think there is a certain perseverance that you have, the ability to keep going when you are a pure blood entrepreneur, that you just don't accept that it is the end. You figure something out. And, you know, for us, we were actually like a small grab and go type restaurant. We had hot food, like we served food, but we were primarily meal prep for like years. And then when COVID hit and nobody was coming for their meal prep anymore because everyone was home with their families, everything just dropped. Like we had no online ordering at that point because a lot of people still didn't have it. And within like 2 months, like less than 8 weeks, we just completely changed. We switched up our kitchen, changed all of our equipment. We made a whole new menu that was a typical restaurant menu, call to order, delivery, all that stuff, got on all the apps. And it was hard because, again, our kitchen wasn't set up for it. And in a time where you're not sure if you're going to make any money, like reinvesting. And again, I was like by myself for a long time. I think I had like one employee, like dishwasher or something like that for like 6 months. And we were just able to pivot and change. And it actually did better than the first model that we had. And so it was just really this eye-opening experience of like, you know what, like there's everything's figure outable. And I didn't have a choice, right? When your back's up against the wall, but like, I didn't want to be a victim to COVID. Like the idea of closing my restaurant made me want to like jump off a bridge. I was like, I'm not going to be one of those people who has to close their restaurant during COVID. There has to be an answer. We actually ended up expanding during COVID to a second location. But yeah, it was just a wild time. And I think that was a time where people really figured out if they were able to make it, but then also kind of sprouted seeds for all these new entrepreneurs coming in, right? Everybody who wanted to leave their jobs, who started to appreciate the time off with their family and the flexibility. Like my wife hasn't got back to work, you know, like, once you get a taste of like working from home a little bit and going back into that environment. And she did really well, like good six figures. And she just didn't want to go back into corporate, and she hasn't. And I think, you know, now she's doing her own thing with functional nutrition and all that. So it was definitely an eye-opening time for people. And I'm excited to see how this goes. I really hope a lot of people can like hang on, but you know, I'm definitely someone who's always looking out for, whether or not somebody really has what it takes to do it, because it's not easy. It's not fun. It's hard. It beats you up. And people like you are really great who support other people. And we try to, and everyone who's a coach out there tries to support. But I am also a real realistic person in the sense of like, if somebody, and people come to me all the time with business ideas, and I'm like, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure? Like, are you okay with emptying out your bank account? Are you okay with not going to your kids' games? Are you okay with not paying your credit cards for 6 months if that happens? Or, you know, and they're like, what are you talking about? That will happen. I'm going to make lots of money. And it's something that I think, you know, I think now it's becoming more, I guess, put out there that it's not hard. This is why I love the Hormozis, right? Because they kind of really paint a picture of how hard it is to start a business, where everyone else tries to glorify it. And I'm definitely not one of the glorification people. It's hard. It's really, really hard sometimes.
Yeah, it can be like most things are simple, right? Like it can be simple, but just because it's simple doesn't mean that it's easy. But I want you to share a little bit of that that evolution, right? Going from, you could say, like the restaurant, the meal prep business to what you're doing now, right? And what you've learned from your own health issues of chronic illness to, just kind of sharing that journey to and where you are now. And I mean, shoot, you grew a podcast, you said, 8 years and 6 weeks. Coaching clients, you are, you know, solving world problems here, Amanda. So,
trying
journey of the evolution.
Sure. So like I said, in 21, 22, I was feeling this push, like metaphysically, to get out of the industry, and I didn't know what else I was going to do because I was good at it, and I knew I wanted to help people in a different way. So, I just kept ignoring it, kind of like you did, until my body broke in May of 2022. I woke up one day and I wasn't able to put my glasses on. It was as if they were the wrong prescription and I was like going cross-eyed. And it was a Friday morning in the restaurant. We were busy as shit. And I was like, I got to go in. So I'm working. And again, I already have limited vision. I'm pretty much blind in my right eye. And I have 20/25 vision in my left eye, but it's like a tunnel. So from glaucoma that I've had for 30 years. So already difficult for me to kind of run a restaurant. But that day it was even harder. And I went to the ER that night. I'm sorry, the urgent care. And they were like, you have to go to the hospital right now. You're having an MS relapse. And I'm like, I don't think that that's what's happening. I'm like, usually when that happens, like my legs go numb, like I have different kind of sensory issues. And the doctor's screaming at me, telling me she's going to call an ambulance. And I was like, let me go home and shower. Oh, I got to eat dinner. Like, and then I'll go. I never went because I knew that there was something else going on. And, you know, like you said before, it's we're kind of in this time where, unfortunately, with chronic illness, it's really, really hard to go to a regular doctor. I haven't gone to a regular doctor in over 2.5 years. I only see functional medicine practitioners who are really versed in finding the root cause of disease. And so I went home, I woke up, and long story short, that ended up being 3 months of me not being able to see. Went to neuro-ophthalmologist, my eye doctor that I've been seeing for 30 years. No one could figure out what was wrong. There was nothing actually wrong with my eyes. So I went to a neurologist, they do an MRI. They're like, you're not having a MS relapse. I'm like, okay. So like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why can't I see? Long story short, like my thyroid had tanked. My neck was like huge all around here. There was just like giant bulges. I was cold all the time. I was exhausted. I mean, like fatigue beyond belief. Like I was sleeping for like 12, 13 hours a day. My wife was running the restaurant with my team. I was just like laying in the hammock in the yard trying to figure out what was wrong. I started with a new functional medicine doctor, waiting for blood work to come back. My TSH actually ended up going to the hospital like 4 or 5 times because I was so sick, like in the middle of the night, waking up with, I actually thought I was dying. I didn't know, I can't describe the feeling to you, but I felt so unwell that I just would make my wife drive me to the hospital. And I'm sitting there and they can't find anything wrong with me. They're like, you're crazy. Go home. They were giving me antidepressants. And I'm like, I'm not depressed. I'm like, something's wrong with my body. Figure it out. In 4 ER trips, not one doctor tested my thyroid. And just through conversation with my wife and some friends, I was like, maybe it's my thyroid. And we went back the 5th time. And I was like, can you please test my thyroid? And my TSH was a 12. Normal range is 0 to 4. So 12 is really, really high. That would explain why I was sleeping all the time, exhausted. I was cold because your thyroid controls your temperature regulation. And long story short, they were rolling me in actually for a CT scan of my brain because, again, I couldn't see. So they gave me thyroid medicine before I went in for the scan, and I was like slumped over in the wheelchair, just like sick as a dog. I come out a half an hour, 40 minutes later, and I was like a completely different person. The meds kicked in. I was like awake, and I was like, oh my God, I feel so much better just from one dose of medication. So
what was the medication?
It's called levothyroxine. Synthroid is the brand name. Just that thyroid medicine to help my balance out and to bring my TSH down. So I end up having something called Hashimoto's, right? So there's low thyroid, which is hypothyroid, and there's hyperthyroid, which is when your thyroid makes too much hormone. Hashimoto's is the autoimmune disease version of it, where it kind of fluctuates between both. So sometimes you're cold and you gain weight. Sometimes you're sweating and you lose weight. It's just kind of really unpredictable.
Because hypo is usually, people will usually like gain weight.
Yeah.
And it's
lose
like
hair. Right.
Yeah, lose hair.
And which then is more common.
That's usually more common, right?
Right. And low thyroid function is also really common now, especially because of stress too, right? And Epstein-Barr virus. So I have Epstein-Barr virus. So we'll get into viruses and how it affects chronic health.
You
so
said the Epstein Island.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like I'm on we call it the Epstein-Barr Island when I'm not feeling well.
Yeah.
I'm taking a trip to the Epstein-Barr Island. This is like July 2022, sick as a dog. My thyroid's starting to, it takes a few weeks to really start like getting back to normal, like almost 2 to 3 months, honestly. So I start to feel better. My eyes still are not working. I end up going to a friend of mine she's a physical therapist, cranial sacral therapy. So those are the folks that kind of work on your neck. If you're in car accidents, like they really try to realign what's going on in your head and neck and the rest of your body. Because your spine is essentially like a place where energy just flows up and down, right? So if you have any issues, you know, below your neck, it could actually be caused by your head. A lot of times your head actually will mimic the pelvis and vice versa. So if you have issues up here, like they'll work on your pelvic area. But she's also like a Reiki practitioner. So this woman, Riza, I give her so much credit. She will never take it, but I give it to her. I was on her table one day. It was my 3rd session with her. And again, I still can't see with my glasses on. And she was doing this thing where she had her hand above my eye and she's just slowly, slowly coming down and doing whatever she does. And she's holding her stomach and she's like, I'm getting really nauseous. Are you okay? And I'm like, I'm okay. I'm like, keep going. She gets her hand to like 2 inches over my eye. All of a sudden, I start feeling all the muscles twitch all around my eye, my face. And I was like, what's happening? And she's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, keep going. So she has her hand here. All of a sudden, I shot up, Tyler. And I was like, oh my God, like, I am so afraid to go blind. This eye is the only eye that I have. Like, if I go blind, it's going to ruin my marriage. My family's not supportive. They're not going to help me. What am I going to do with my business if I go blind? Crying all over her. And it was just this moment of like crazy release. And she was like, we just released so much trauma from that eye. And less than 40 hours later, I was able to wake up and put my glasses back on for the first time in 3 months. So when people go on this like crazy journey, if they have autoimmune disease, chronic illness, you know, you really don't realize how much of it can be emotional and deep emotional stress, trauma. You know, people are talking about that all the time now. But
what's a Reiki massage for those that don't know?
So Reiki is considered energy healing, right? It's an old, Eastern Asian practice, and it's kind of definitely been diluted. There's a lot of people who are, I went and got Reiki certified for my own just to, you know, work on myself. But anybody who does it can start charging people $75 a session and do it. You really want to find somebody who's just like really living the lifestyle, who's been doing it. These people heal people like all the time. I've felt insane shifts, not only with my vision, but and other parts of my body over time. So it's R-E-I-K-I, Reiki. You can look it up on YouTube and stuff if someone's curious about it. But if you're at a point where you really don't feel well, or you know that your emotions or your energy is just off, like you're not grounded, right? Like I said, you felt really ungrounded when your Achilles was all messed up. It's kind of the same thing. I get really ungrounded from stress where the energy will just all go in my head, right? I get headaches, my throat hurts, where all the energy goes poof up here. And then what they do is they kind of just bring it down and reground you in your feet and your ankles and your knees. And honestly, sometimes you just feel so many things that you just end up crying. Like it's just a moment for you to feel, especially when you're an entrepreneur who's always going, going, going. And, you know, you're constantly putting out fires. You don't have time to just stop and go, oh, how do I feel today? So it tends to like build up. And then if you can have a moment 1 or 2 times a month where you just lay on somebody's table and release it, get it out of your fascia, right? Get it out of your tissue, get it out of your mind and your heart. And I mean, for me, my liver really gets affected. It's a life changing experience. So,
and it's like it's a practice as well with, it's like massage and like breath work and just, you know, really.
It's a bit deeper, I think.
Because some people listening to this, Amanda, might think that you're a big Taylor Swift fan doing witchcraft or something.
I am sure. You know, and listen, like I was there too, right? I grew up in Newark. Like my parents are cops. Like I wasn't someone who was into this, but when you are chronically ill for so long and you can't get answers from doctors, after 10, 20, 15, whatever, how many years, like you start to go inward, right? And to like a really deep level of self-awareness. And you start to realize how, whether it's your childhood or things you carry or your belief systems, whatever it is, they can all make you sick. And so a lot of people use energy healing or Reiki. And so it's just deep self-awareness at the end of the day to get out of your own way. You know, I think there's a lot of times where we just compartmentalize things or we have certain beliefs or we believe things because that's what we want to believe because other people believe it and it seems like a good idea. Like, oh, let's all go do cold plunges. Like, that's going to feel really great. But like, is that actually good for you? Like, what is the thing that is good for you that you either need to like let go of, that you need to like work on? It's just really deep work for people who tend to have a lot more going on, right? So I'm one of those people. Not everybody has that. Like, and if you're not sick, great. Like, that's really awesome. But, you know, for me, I had gotten so unwell from stress that I had to like really stop. And it was deep. Like, I mean, layers, layers, layers deep. Like mommy stuff, dad stuff. Like, you know.
Like, well, what happened? Was it like childhood stuff?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when you're a kid and you lose your vision, you know, I have this memory of my dad. I was playing Little League and I was really good. Even though I couldn't see very well, I was very, very good. I had just like had an instinct and I wanted to pitch and I was really good and they were going to make me a pitcher. But my dad, one day I was walking around the baseball field with my coach really slowly. And I was like, what the hell is he talking to him about? Next thing you know, I'm in right field, right? Because my dad's fear was that I would get hurt. And he projected his fear onto me. And it was like, Amanda, you can't do that. Subconsciously, right? Amanda, you can't do that. Go to right field. I don't want you to get hurt.
And so you're playing against the boys?
Hmm?
Were you playing against boys?
Yeah. Yeah. I was little. I mean, you know, under 10, I think 11 or 12 was like the league age. So, you know, but I was... You know, when you're a girl, you mature faster, right? You grow faster, you grow stronger before the boys do. So like I was a savage at 11, 12 years old.
Yeah, the tomboys, those chicks.
Yeah, you gotta watch out for
I remember one in particular in my hometown. She was a fucking beast. And I was like, yeah, well, I'm not guarding her. No.
Yeah, I did like roller hockey. I love sports. And then, but with the subconscious messaging for my parents was like, don't get hurt. You have a disability. Be careful, be careful, be careful. And I think so in the last 30 years, it's been like, fuck you. I'm going to show you what I can do. It doesn't matter that I can't see as well as everybody else can. I'm just as smart, if not smarter. Like I see things in a different way. And that's definitely carried over into everything that I do. When I see an opportunity, like you said, how do I get a podcast to six figures in 6 weeks? And no one would ever think to do the thing that I did to do that. Or if they did, maybe, or they wouldn't think it was possible, but I just have this like need to prove, right? But also that's not healthy, right? It's good and it makes me ambitious and it makes me kick ass. But on the spiritual side of things, it's not healthy to have that forever all the time. There again, like I'm a woman, I have feminine energy, like I need to honor that sometimes and say, okay, it's okay to like rest and relax and not have to kick ass all the time.
Yeah.
I think that's the gift that guys have. It's like you just have this primal thing where you're just like conquer, like go achieve all the time. Women have that, but we also have the soft side where it's like if you just are in your masculine energy too much, it also makes you not well. I think a lot of women struggle with that too, because it's like you want to be successful. But if you also don't honor your feminine energy and just be in it sometimes, like we're all balanced, right? Just like it's okay to be super masculine, dude. Like that's great. But so, you also need to not be a dick. And like, you know, be in your feminine energy a little bit when it comes to your wife and your kids and all that stuff too. So,
well, it's usually communication, at least what I've discovered in my experiences, which is like, you know, to be assertive versus passive aggressive. And then sometimes it's good to have no communication at all. Like a cold shoulder can send a message, but yet like just ignoring things as well is not wise as well, right? So like
right. It
depends on the circumstance, of course. But I'm curious, both your parents were cops growing up?
Corrections officers. Yep, they're retired now.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I'm a one of five with my dad, a one of three with my mom. Two of them are also corrections officers.
So maybe that was, do you think that has a lot to do with it as far as like basically you grew up in like military school, basically grew up in like a jail growing up? You might have like that, where that drive comes from. Like,
Well, your dad's the hardest working guy. I mean, he always had three jobs, like always. He was always hustling, always doing something. He owned food trucks when we were kids. So he's working, you know, 16 hours a day. He would work overtime. He had security jobs. My mom, she actually outranked him. She was a sergeant. And, you know, when it's funny because when people think like, oh, you grew up in a military style home, it was more not in like a good way. It was more of in like we were treated like inmates and like yelled at and screamed at. And like it wasn't a very positive, happy, fun place to be. And, you know, when you work in that environment, it really takes a toll on you. Obviously, you know, you're always on guard. You can't be vulnerable, right? Because if you're vulnerable inside of a jail, you get stabbed very easily. And I'm like, my brother was attacked one time, my older brother. He was out like for like 6 months. So it's really hard, just like anybody, even entrepreneur. It's like, you know, when you have to come home and turn that off to be with your family. Like my parents were, my dad was a little bit better at it than my mom. My mom was like hardcore. Like she just didn't have a lot of place for like love and gentleness. So I think that was definitely part of like how we turned out too, for sure. But there are some things that like my dad.
Muslims, you know, are fucking terrified.
What's that?
The like lady cops or the lady officers, like
you have to be like, imagine being it's funny. My mom actually always says she liked working with the men better than the female inmates, because they were just so aggressive and like intense. Like the guys are chill. They're just like, whatever. Like, yeah, they fight and stuff. But it was like scarier to be with the female inmates than the men. But imagine like, you do that for 20, 25 years. It's like it changes who you are if you're not super aware, super present. You know, a lot of those guys, they get cancer and like other like heart disease and like at a rate that is much higher than everybody else because of the stress. And it's not even just the stress of like the inmates and the job. It's the political stress, right? It's like there's so much more that goes into that job that I don't think people realize. And they take them because it's a good salary, good pension. And that's great. But like, I think they don't think about what 25 years of that will do to you as a human.
Yeah. Or even the comment about, and this is not to take anything away from your dad necessarily or other people that had three jobs at work 20 hours a day. The work eventually has to change is what I've discovered, right? Like work hard has to evolve and look different as you're working hard. And what I mean by that is like, yeah, sure. Maybe when you're getting started in your business or you've been starting in your career, there has to be 20 hour days, 16 hour days, 8 hour days for 7 days a week or 24/7, 365, right? But the work that I've discovered from the Achilles tear, as an example, the work has to change. It doesn't mean that you're not putting in a 20-hour day or a 12-hour day. It's just what you're actually doing during that time has to shift and change. You said that he had three different jobs, but yet your mom outranked him. And it's like, hey, mom, if you actually would have just focused on this one thing, maybe you would have been higher. Or instead of having those two other jobs, if you learn more about financial literacy, maybe pour it into your kids more. And again, this is not to take anything away necessarily from your dad. It's just things that I've discovered and I'm continuing to learn every day as well is, oh, wait, I don't need to do 4 podcast shows a week. I just need to do 2. And I don't need to bring on, 5 clients a month. Maybe I only really need to bring on 2. Right. So I'm qualifying them more, maybe even charging more money or there's more opportunity. So again, the work eventually has to change and it has to evolve. And coming back to your circumstance, I'm curious of the environment that you grew up in and the circumstances, if that had a lot to do with the chronic illness. Were you consuming different types of foods that you shouldn't have? And then I want you to unpack a little bit more. You had mentioned magnesium helping with anxiety. Like, if you can, just kind of brain dump everything you
really want. All right. Let's see.
And I'm sure it's a lot. We may not be able to
get through. Yeah, I know. I'll try to get through it quickly. So, yeah, I mean, there's people like Dr. Gabor Mate. I love his work. He wrote a book called When the Body Says No, and he actually talks about childhood trauma and how it can lead to chronic illness in the body. And, there's guys like Andrew Huberman, like all these amazing people who are doing this work now, Joe Dispenza, that really attach these things. And again, with my restaurant, I saw, 40,000, I had 40,000 interactions in 6 years, and nobody ate gluten-free or dairy-free because they wanted to. There was always a reason. So I would ask people why they were always, eating my food in my restaurant. And they all had autoimmune disease or rashes or something going on, headaches, migraines. Or their babies were sick. A lot of moms were breastfeeding and their kids were sick. And so I would just always ask them questions. And over time, I start to see patterns. And I ended up Googling one day, autoimmune disease and emotions, or autoimmune disease and psychology. And this is how I found these guys' work. And I was like, okay, I'm not crazy. So I used to see patterns in how people behaved and what illnesses they had. So for example, women who were super type A, over-organized, really self-conscious, they all tended to have something up with their uterus, right? Endometriosis, PCOS, people with fibromyalgia were really big worriers, people pleasers. MS is actually associated with guilt and shame. And so I started to learn more about this. And obviously going back to diet and being raised in a house where, my parents did the best they can. I mean, they struggled. My dad lost his business in 94 when the Oklahoma City bombing happened, because he had a food truck in front of the courthouse in Newark, and he was the guy, was crushing it. They closed off all those streets. He had to move. So he went from making probably 6 figures in the early to mid 90s to working at a train. It's not Wawa, but Quick Check, an hour away from my house, or $6 an hour, because
a corner store.
Yeah, I mean, it's a chain. Quick Check is a big one around here, kind of a national one would be. But and just so he could have health insurance, because my mom was pregnant with my little sister. And so he always knew what he had to do. But at the same time, that stress, my parents' financial stress was definitely felt by all of us. Right. I remember one time I went to a birthday party and my mom could only put $5 in the card. And the kids all made fun of me, and they're like, "You're poor." I'm like, "What?" I didn't even know what was in the card. Right. I'm getting made fun of. And then translating that, my parents were having the best marriage, they had a lot of stress, and you feel that as a kid. I think I'm so grateful that parents our age now are just more aware of their emotions and their behaviors around their children, because I think that's going to save a lot of heartache in the long run for these kids. But a lot of us grew up with that stuff, and it does interact with the body. When you are in a fight or flight response, even as a child, it just changes your entire chemistry. So coupled with early 90s diet, I mean, we're Italian and Puerto Rican, so we ate pasta, Spanish food, everything.
You're fucked.
We weren't overweight or anything like that, but it was just a lot of sugar, a lot of soda, candy. I was obsessed. And it's funny because looking back now, I would fall asleep. I was a little kid, 8, 9, 10 years old. I would pass out after dinner. I couldn't stay up past 7 o'clock most days. And that's not normal, but nobody took me to the doctor or thought about if this was an issue. But looking back, I was probably gluten intolerant or had a thyroid condition long before I even knew. chances are I had Lyme disease long before I even knew, because I would have these like crazy joint pains all the time. And my mom told me they were growing pains, you know, and because you're a kid and you're just saying crazy shit. And nobody really pays attention to you. But so I think that little bit of like, I don't want to use the word neglect, but just like, what's a better word? It's just like overlooked.
I think parents that have multiple jobs and multiple kids, I mean, if the parents are not there, then they neglected us, right? If they were at every single sporting event, every school I want, they took you to the hospital every time, then they hovered too much. That's what I'm in my journey as well when it comes to the parenting side of things and just like letting go of that stuff. It's like, wait, I've actually discovered that like when they don't check in, I'm pissed. When they do check in, I'm like, not pissed, but like it's more of being a parent. It's like the ultimate form, other than God and the dog. It's unconditional love. Like, true. You just got to look past it, right? There's no right way to do it, as I'm sure we both know. And I'm not a parent, but I wanted to share one because I think I've gone through that recently where I'm like, oh, wait, no matter what parents do, like,
you're screwed.
Kids are like never satisfied.
Right. Right. And that's fine because I turned out all right. Right. Like, I'm happy. I'm mostly healthy. But yeah. So looking back, like, diet, stress, definitely, you know, there's crazy stats on this. Like, if you have adverse childhood events happen, ACEs, right, that you're like, I think like 70% higher chance that you're going to have an autoimmune disease when you're older. And it's just because your body, like, we're not meant for stress, right? We were meant to just like be hanging out in the jungle. If we saw, you know, something start chasing us, cortisol goes up, comes down, readapt, and that's it. If you're a child in a stressful home and your parents are screaming and yelling or there's abuse or whatever, you're already in a chronic state of fight or flight at such a young age that, again, starts messing with your hormones, starts messing with your cortisol levels, starts messing with your immune system. If you have a heightened cortisol and heightened fight or flight response, your immune system starts to decline over time. So then if you have a declining immune system, what happens? You get sick more, you get allergies, food sensitivities, anything can happen. Anxiety, depression, it kind of just starts spiraling. You know, anytime I see someone who's really struggling with mental health or chronic health issues, I'm just like, are you okay? Like, what's your life like? And this is what I do in coaching for people, because they just overlook it because we're after the doctor and they're just like, here's a pill. They're not asking you what's actually going on. They're not asking you if you've had chronic stress for 20 years as an entrepreneur, the last 5 to 10 years. They just say stress. Like, they know stress is an issue, but they can't break it down to be able to fix it for you. And that's why people end up going in on this like spiritual journey to do deep work, because eventually you do realize it on your own and no one's coming to save you. No one's coming to help you. You're the only person who can get yourself out of those situations.
So what would you say has been helpful, like different? Because it's easy to say like, yeah, go do the sauna, cold plunge, eat better, go to the gym, get 10,000 steps a day, track your calories and your macros, meditate, go get massages, stretch, do all these different things that are great for you. But like, what would you say are, you know, like good supplements, things to just like add into people's life? That's like, you know, we're not telling you to go run full sprint and keep that pace as a marathon, right? It's like, start introducing these things into your life, whether you have financial stress, you have childhood trauma, which we all do, you have guilt, you have shame, you have anxiety, you have depression, you have all of these different quote unquote low frequency things going on. What are some things that people can introduce in their lifestyle?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm a big fan of adding before taking away. So definitely magnesium glycinate specifically. Different forms do different things. Most people will tend to pick up magnesium citrate in the store. That's the one that helps you go to the bathroom if you need to. So use it if you need to, but glycinate is the one that you want for stress. Magnesium malate as well is helpful with stress and energy production. So 500 milligrams of magnesium glycinate is like the go-to. If you're really stressed out, you can take a little bit more. It's kind of hard to OD on it. So no more than 1,000 milligrams if you're super duper stressed. But I like to take that at nighttime because it actually helps me sleep. But really great for neurological stuff too. So if you're having brain fog, if you're tired all the time, I mean, a good magnesium, a good vitamin B complex that has just a little bit of everything in it will change your life. Those two things, if you're going to buy any two things, B complex and magnesium glycinate. Vitamin D is also really great. We all know we get that from the sun. We get more than vitamin D from the sun. We scratch the surface on what the sun gives us, but we're basically giant house plants, right? My wife always says, and we need to be in the sun. So, but D, you want to make sure you don't want to take D without upping your magnesium, because you'll actually deplete it with vitamin D. So if you want to start all these, do magnesium for like 2 to 3 weeks, then start the vitamin D, 5 to 10,000 IU every day, depending. If you're someone like me who has health conditions, neurological stuff, definitely you could take a little bit more. I'm a big fan of teas, actually. We drink a lot of tea in our house. Chamomile, lavender, that kind of stuff. Milk thistle is one of my other favorite supplements. I take something called Liver Smart. So it's milk thistle, dandelion, kind of blend. We don't give our livers enough love and support. Our livers and our kidneys are filtering everything in our bodies constantly. And so if that liver and the gallbladder are not able to handle stuff, like, you start to notice this too. So like in our 30s, we start to go, oh, I can only have like 2 drinks, otherwise I'm hungover. It's because your liver isn't able to handle processing all the toxins that you're already processing for the day, plus your alcohol. So it just starts to get overwhelmed. You feel like shit, you get tired. You have a really hard time kind of rehydrating. So I would definitely say liver support is super key, also for stress too. Women too, estrogen, everything gets kind of processed through your liver. So if you could support any organ, obviously exercise is great for the heart, but your liver doesn't get enough love. I'm a big fan of like castor oil packs too. If you ever have pain somewhere, sometimes things just get stagnant in your body. So if you're really sore, you know, going through whatever, whether it's stress or just, you know, physical stuff, going like a light detoxing is a big part of my like supplement protocol. But those three things, vitamin B complex, magnesium, a good D, and then a good multi. I mean, a good multi will never hurt anybody. I think we're going to start seeing a big push of people getting away from taking too many supplements and only taking the really important things, because those are, it's also heavy on our body to take too much. But those I would say for people to start with.
Yeah. And that's, you know, hence the name supplement, right? It's not to necessarily replace, right? But it's to supplement your lifestyle to utilize those tools. What are your thoughts about fluoride? What are your thoughts about like water and that? You know, because I just recently went to do my annual teeth cleaning, and you brought up a great point with dentists. I think that this is maybe it's relevant to me because I just went to the teeth cleaning and I just had my first, actually, no, that's a lie, my second cavity that had to get filled. And I went down this weird rabbit hole where they're like, hey, are you using fluoride toothpaste? And I'm like, no, but you know, they're like, hey, it helps. There's all these studies that show that it helps. I'm like, yeah, but probably has to do with the Reese cups that I'm eating before. Right. So I'm curious because, you know, you see these videos that fluoride does strengthen your teeth and your enamel and prevent cavities. But you also see these conflicting videos that that's not true. And it potentially hardens, or, you know, whatever the fancy word is, hardens your pineal gland. And here,
I mean, that's just one piece of it. It's poison, like it's straight poison. And when you look at the studies for who, you know, supports selling fluoride, you'll see why, you know, and that's kind of the problem too. Once you go down the rabbit hole of health and wellness, is that you don't want to be totally paranoid and not ever put anything in your body. But the things that you're using every single day, fluoride destroys your thyroid, absolutely destroys it. You're putting this thing in your mouth and your thyroid is right here. And all people think like our body doesn't absorb stuff. Everything you put on your skin, your shampoo, lotion, suntan lotion, everything gets absorbed. So you can't just be putting all these chemicals in your body and expect that you're going to be fine over 20, 30, 40 years. It doesn't really strengthen your teeth. Like what's going to strengthen your teeth is good bone density, vitamin D. Even calcium isn't really like the thing that they say to take for strong bones. It's going to be actually protein, good amino acids, and vitamin D. So it sucks because you want to just be able to listen to the experts a lot of times and go, okay, because like you don't want to overthink it. But unfortunately, we're just living in a time right now where we're getting smarter, right? Our technology is 10xing every single day. Like, so things that came out 20, 30, even 10 years ago are honestly aren't correct most of the time anymore.
Have you seen the what's up? The controversy around getting wisdom teeth pulled? Or do you think humans should have to get their wisdom teeth pulled? Or do you think that's just because our jaw structure, as we become more overweight, the food that we're eating? There's a great book, Breath or Breathe, whatever it is, by whatever author. I think his name is.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Right off the hand, book where people are not breathing correctly and it changes your facial structure, your jaw structure. But yeah, I'm curious your take on wisdom teeth.
Yeah, so the reason that's happening is because once we started to be more industrialized and started eating more grains, a high grain diet over the last couple centuries is what has changed the shape of our faces and our jaws. And unfortunately, most of us are kind of experiencing that. So, you know, did we all need to get them out? I'm sure some of us had room for them. It just depends on your face. Is it a risk you want to take? I don't know. Like, you'll survive having them out. But at the same time, the thing that happens when you take wisdom teeth out and you take other and pull any teeth really is something called a cavitation. And you'll only hear this from a biological dentist. So most of us go to regular dentists and we think that that's fine. And it is for a lot of stuff. If you need a cavity filled or, you know, as long as you're not getting mercury, you never want to get mercury fillings, or you never want to get titanium implants. In case you're getting a dental implant, you only want zirconia. But start. Biological dentists, they do things in a different way where when you pull a tooth out, they clean it a little bit better than a regular dentist does. They use something called ozone to kill all the infection that is potentially in that, I don't know, I guess we'll call it a hole because I can't think of the the medical term for it right now. And so when you have a root canal, when you have a tooth pulled, wisdom tooth, any tooth, if that isn't cleaned out properly, it forms these cavitations, which are these little dark areas. And you could actually get certain type of x-rays from the biological dentist, and they do your entire face, your jaw, and you will see, I had dark spots on my jaw. It was basically bacteria eating away at my jaw, like this side of my jaw. It has to be totally reconstructed. And I had to get bone grafting done in order to get implants put back in because this bacteria from having teeth pulled was just eating away at it. These cavitations and these infections can cause so many mystery illnesses in our body. I've actually had to get them cleaned out because my Lyme disease was actually living in there. There's all these videos, if you zoom in, you can see actual Lyme spirochetes in people's jaws. They'll do all the treatments, antibiotics. I'm doing a hardcore like Lyme treatment with IVs and tinctures. But regardless of how you treat it, if these infections are still here, the Lyme will never actually go away. And this is, each tooth is associated with a different organ in the body. So you hear a lot of people who have trouble, like heart issues, like they say your teeth are and your dental health is associated with your heart, but it's actually attached to every organ. Where I had the bad root canals, I was having trouble breathing. I would have like really bad shortness of breath. I had back pain. Once the root canals were taken out, all the pain that was here running down my neck all went away. And I knew that, right? But even I had to switch dentists because I was like, this guy was going to just leave these teeth in me. He's like, no, you're young. They're good teeth. Keep them in. I'm like, I'm sick. Like, I know I can feel it literally coming down my face and my neck. He's like, no, it's not that. So I was like, screw it. And I went, and these guys are like out of pocket. They don't take insurance. Any of the functional medicine doctors, they don't take anything. And I, you know, but at some point, this is why I'm so hardcore with entrepreneurship and why I'm so like motivated to make more money, because I don't want to keep myself in a sick care system. Because if I keep going to regular doctors, they're not going to heal me, right? If I want any shot at healing, I have to go to the functional medicine doctors who are doing things that, like they do in Germany, right? In other countries, like they bring stuff here that we're not doing in America yet. And as great as America's health system is, as far as like acute like issues, if I break my arm or if I fall off a cliff, I want to be in an American hospital, like no doubt, fix me, patch me up. But when it comes to chronic illness and like longevity and health, I wouldn't touch it. So, and health, your dental health plays such a big role in that. So like you have to floss, you have to brush your teeth. Don't use fluoride, take your supplements, like don't put any more chemicals on your teeth than you have to. Like you want to go for a whitening once in a while, fine. But like, don't use these strips every single day because it's all chemicals being absorbed into the body time.
What about, you had mentioned gluten and dairy. What are the issues with gluten and dairy? From my understanding, raw milk in particular, that's not, you know, pasteurized milk at the store. Is actually good for your gut health and other things like bone broth and, you know, using collagen and all these different things when it comes to gut health. That's a whole side combo. But yeah, do you think gluten and dairy is bad for people?
So it depends what your situation is, right? Yes, like A2 milk, like totally better than regular milk, right? Aside from factory farming, all the shit that we do to these poor animals and like the way that the milk is processed, like especially for certain conditions. So for example, if you are a woman and you have your estrogen dominant, you are the last person who should have dairy because you're essentially drinking cow estrogen milk, right? So women in those situations should not drink milk. Personally, I don't have children, but if I did, I probably would not feed them any sort of dairy products early on. Although we do, when you're a little, you actually have more enzymes in order to break it down. That's why we don't see a ton of dairy intolerance in children and more so when we're older. But again, just common sense. If you're lactose intolerant, if you eat cheese and milk and you feel like shit afterwards, it is not meant for you, right? Some people just take lactate or like these pills and they continue to eat it. And what you're doing is you're just continuing to put so much inflammation inside of your body and you don't feel it right away, because it could take 5, 10, 15, 20 years for your body to just go, I have had enough, and then break down, and you get colitis, Crohn's disease, all these other inflammatory bowel issues. Gluten is tricky, because, you know, you hear a lot of people say they go to Italy or overseas and they could tolerate it and not here. And then it's the whole debate of like, well, it's how we produce it here. You know, our wheat used to be these like beautiful golden, you know, grains in the wind, and now it's like short and stubby. Actually, the gluten we produce now, or the wheat we produce now, has significantly more gluten in it than it did 50, 60 years ago. So that's part one. Part two is we consume way more of it than we used to. Our parents, grandparents, they kind of grew up on a whole foods diet. Yes, they had bread and butter and all that, but they weren't eating a McDonald's breakfast sandwich on a bun with all the shit in it. And then they're drinking this and eating that like all day long. Every single meal you have has gluten in it. And so over time, you can lead to something called leaky gut syndrome. And you hear a lot of people talk about this. This is why people drink bone broth. Our restaurant, actually, we were the number one producer of bone broth in New Jersey. So I've made and sold thousands and thousands of gallons of bone broth in my time. And that, in theory, has a lot of collagen, can heal and seal the gut. But like with anything else in health and wellness, it's if you have a histamine intolerance, bone broth is not for you, right? Not everybody should have everything. And it's all about becoming self-aware enough and journaling and figuring out what is good for your body. And people can have responses up to 48 hours. So you could eat gluten on a Tuesday and you might not feel like shit till Thursday, but you're not going to connect them because it's the 2 days later. So I just always kind of try to get people to just be aware of how you feel. If you're tired, if you're fatigued, if you have brain fog, if your mood changes, if you're cranky, you know, if you're just not, if you're feeling meh, you're just like, eh, I don't feel like going to the gym today. Sometimes it's really just the food that you're eating, and gluten can be one of them. Gluten has something called zonulin in it, and that's usually what people are more sensitive to. But there's food sensitivity tests. They're not always super accurate, but something like a GI map where you actually, you poop in a box and you send it to a lab and it tells you all the bacteria, the parasites, everything you have in your gut. It'll come up on there if you're actually sensitive to gluten. I think that's the more accurate way of doing it than a food allergy test. But I can look at somebody most of the time and say if they're gluten intolerant by how their skin looks. Sometimes their hands are tend to be more puffy, dark circles around their eyes. I always say, wait, do you have gluten intolerance? I don't know you well enough, but I bet if I asked you 10 questions after this, I could figure out if you were gluten intolerant. But the numbers are crazy for celiac. It's not just celiac disease, too. I think that's what people don't realize. You can be non-celiac gluten intolerant. So for me, I don't have stomach issues. I could eat gluten and have no tummy issues. Mine are neurological. So I get anxiety. I get twitchy. I just feel like really, really bad brain fog. And I think sometimes people don't connect those things. Or skin issues are really popular. I used to get rashes all over my face when I ate it, but never any GI issues.
Yeah, it's crazy. When I'm very stressed and usually, you know, eat bad, if I eat like two or three bad meals in a row, because you're, at least I will sometimes seek comfort in food where it's long going. You're like, yeah,
I get it.
Eat on a Friday night and hang out and stress and this and that, I'll start breaking out. You can see a little of these two spots right here. We'll get really bad around.
Are they pimples or more red rash, like elevated or not elevated?
Kind of both, actually. Yeah, it's kind of like, it's like a rash slash it will be like pimples, zits, whatever. It's interesting. I'll notice it like right through here, like where my temples are.
Yeah, sorry, buddy. You might wanna... So what I would do if I were you is I would cut both out, right? And then I would add, go maybe 2 weeks, don't eat any gluten or dairy, and then add one back in first for a few days and then see what happens. And then same thing, repeat, cut it both out for 2 weeks and then add the other one in and see which one you're responding to more. If it's more pimply, I'm inclined to think dairy, but more like red rosacea, like dermatitis is usually more gluten, but it just depends on the person.
Yeah. When you eat like half a large pizza, I don't know if it's gluten or dairy. It doesn't really matter. Probably shouldn't just eat pizza, right? But
think about it. Next time you eat it, see, not only this, but think about how you feel later. Like, are you just not as creative? Are you like more tired for a couple of days?
It's astonishing to see how you feel. Oftentimes, like immediately, right?
Yeah.
Now you can crush a leg day the next day. You can do a solid weight training session the next day.
Yeah, there's other ways. I mean, I junk food isn't that good either, man. It's just like, I always tell people my ideal diet is like steak and watermelon. That's all I want to eat all the time.
Those are. I don't really smoke wheat that often, but when I do, very rarely, I always crave watermelon. That's so funny you say that, because
hydration, man.
Yeah, there's something about, I don't know what it
is. Do you stay hydrated? Are you good about electrolytes and all that stuff?
I'm not perfect, but I usually drink spring water, the Mountain Valley.
Nice. That's good.
You know, this is not an ad.
Yeah.
So, Mountain Valley, if you want to sell some free shit.
Right.
And yeah.
Water. Hell yeah.
Now, usually, I think that's actually a good topic that you bring up is how severely dehydrated people are, because kind of going to the point of like fluoride, why are they pushing that we need to be drinking so much water and focus on how many ounces per body weight and activity? Sure, those things obviously matter, but I found that those like salt packets,
Element
has been pretty solid in hydrating, especially now people are doing more sauna. They're doing some more optimization stuff, but also, if I'm not mistaken, just most people are dehydrated, right?
Yeah, I even have a hard time getting hydrated. That's why I do a lot of IVs and stuff, because the way I feel before and after one is just a big change. And it just has to do with your body. Some people, if you drink water all the time and you just pee it out right away, you're not absorbing it, obviously. And that's where you're supposed to add a little bit of salt, some lemon, some electrolytes to help absorb it through your cells. But that's one I don't have fully figured out. That's one thing I'm working on this year is why is that always happening? Why can't I get hydrated all the time? And I'm sure it has to do with my metabolism, thyroid stuff. But I think the average person who doesn't have a lot of health issues should very easily be able to be hydrated with some electrolytes. I'm a big fan of Superior. It was the same guy that made Ultima. So Ultima became pretty big. Element's really good, but it's really salty. That's, I think, more, if you're in a sauna or you're an endurance athlete, you're actively, not eating a ton of salt, I would go for that one, but I like ones that I to switch it up. I have Element for when I'm sick, Element all day, really, really under the weather. Take my zinc, some vitamin C, all that good stuff.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing that I discovered was essentially the myth that salt is bad, but it's iodine salt. Whereas, mineral salt, Celtic salt. I don't know much about Himalayan salt, but I just have seen that, mineral salt, such as Element, those packets are good. So, but this all, really what you're saying from your own experiences and people that you've had massive breakthroughs with, it comes back to, ultimately what you put in is what you'll get out, right?
It's with anything. Can you?
Yeah, exactly.
Logic.
So essentially what we're consuming is a result of also our mental health, right? And it's all correlated, it all connects. So do you think that right now people are struggling with mental health? And I already know the answer to that. So I mean,
yes, but probably not the reasons that people think they are struggling. And again, not to take anything away from anybody, obviously
what are the things that you see that people are struggling with in terms of mental health that they could potentially be confused about?
I think a lot of people, again, don't realize that their anxiety and depression could be associated with something wrong in their body. So either a thyroid condition, autoimmune disease, some sort of cortisol, a hormone imbalance specifically, especially for women. Hormone imbalances are huge. And everyone's like, oh, what are you on your period? It's like, yeah, I am. And it's making me crazy right now. So leave me alone. And we joke about it, but at the same time, especially as you get older, right? I'm 38. I'm starting to be in that age of things are going to start changing a little bit. Your days just change. Everything changes. And if you can just realize that maybe, the world isn't against you, or just because your mom or dad or someone else in your family has a disease or a mental illness that you have to have it. A lot of it is controllable based on diet and exercise. How many people have anxiety who don't exercise? Just basic don't exercise. When I don't exercise, which is sometimes I go long bouts of time because of Lyme disease, I don't feel well. It makes my anxiety so much worse. If you have hormone imbalance, if you're having nutrient deficiencies, I've seen nutrient panels of people that have nothing. And it's of course you're going to feel better if you start getting your B, your magnesium, your D. And so I just always encourage people to just start doing the basic stuff first and to not be fall super victim to I have bipolar disorder. It's maybe there's something really, really, really wrong. But if you could just make 10 to 20% of your days better because you are nourishing your body, giving it what it needs so that it can run properly, I think most people would see a huge difference. And it's not a very popular opinion because people see it as like being dismissive, but I've lived that, right? Like I've been in a place where it was so dark, and you know, I started to take supplements and felt better. I started to practice gratitude and would feel better. Like it just does something like neurochemically in your body to practice gratitude. When I was the sickest 2 years ago, laying in my hammock, and I literally was like, I might die. Like, what am I going to, like, what am I going to do right now? And I would just say, you know what? I feel like shit, but I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. And it literally just changes biochemistry of your body. So that's one thing I would say. Some people don't want to hear it. And I find people that are really, really in a dark place. Like they're just sometimes I wasn't ready to hear it. There's points, you know, where my wife would tell me to take something. And I'm like, that's not going to help me. I don't need it. I took it 3 days later and I felt amazing. Right. But you have to be in a place of like feeling empowered and feeling supported oftentimes to get there, which is hard for a lot of people.
Let's get into something controversial because for whatever reason, I like that.
All right. Here we go.
Do you think that let's talk about sexuality? You're all like, right?
Let's talk about sex, baby. Not you and me.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I can maybe change it, and then you know, I don't know. Yeah, that's not gonna work. I'm curious on your take. You're 38, right?
38. Yep.
38.
Oh, I'll be 30 in July. Oh my god, I'm 37, but I'm gonna be 38 soon. You forget after 35 how old you are.
You need to up that magnesium or something.
That's it.
You had to earn it, right? Like you had to earn the lesbian card. Seems like it's a little easy these days.
Yeah.
And you guys got the best month, is what they're saying.
Full June?
Yeah, you got the best month as well.
It is a good month. It's a good weather month. Time.
But I think this topic is interesting because one, I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. And I don't know if I need to know an answer to it or if really necessarily anyone does. But do you think that there's going to be some unique consequences for kids that are maybe just confused about their sexuality? They're getting these surgeries done. When did you know that you were lesbian? And was that influenced by your environment? Like I'm genuinely curious. Like I can't even be curious because, you know, I'm straight, but then there's times where like in college I was drunk and I had some gay friends and I'm like, oh, I totally see how they could have turned me that night. They never did. Thanks.
Everybody's a bit gay sometimes, right?
You know, is everyone on the spectrum of it? I don't know, right?
I think we're all on every spectrum all the time. It's just like, I don't know. It depends. Like, you know, I think that, so growing up, yeah, you know, I was lucky enough that when I came out, you know, it was still like a little hot button. It was not, I was afraid a little bit to come out because I just didn't know, you know, growing up like Catholic and whatever, if my parents were going to be weird about it. I was lucky enough that I had some friends in school that were gay. So like, I felt confident in just being like, okay, like I am definitely gay. Like I knew, like I liked boys in high school a little bit, but it was, I don't know, it was just like really obvious for me. So once I kind of went through that, and it took like a year for me to even accept myself. I think I was like, just confused. I was like, is this what I really want? Is this like, actually, I'm like, oh yeah, girls are pretty and I like to kiss them. So like that part was easy. And my family was really cool about it. My brother's actually also gay, my younger brother. And he definitely had a little bit of a harder time coming out. I think there's definitely a double standard for guys, or at least there was back then.
When did you know? Like, what? How old were you? Like,
I was 15, and I was watching a movie, and there was two girls kissing in it, and I was like, that's interesting. Why do I like watching this so much? And I rewound it like 15 times, and I was like, oh shit, like, am I bi? And then this was like when AOL first came out, so I'm like, you know, there's like three web pages on the internet. I'm like, how do you know if you're gay? And I was like really upset. I was like, oh no, like because I always had like an affinity for girls. I always had like a lot of female friends, but I didn't realize like that's what it was, because it wasn't my mind. You know, I think the kids today are like, everything's like uber sexual. Like they just have access. All we had was like porno mags back then, right? Like if you could get your hands on it, like sex wasn't everywhere all the time. So
that shit. And I think probably my brother and I were probably destroyed like three family computers for a while. Well, yeah, the music we're downloading, you know.
Oh, so you're telling me my brother's the reason our computer broke. Got it. Check.
Yeah. It's almost, I just ratted them out. But no, to interrupt you on that, though, it's, I genuinely think that has a lot to do with it. We're like, yo, you scroll through anything online or any social media app, I'm like, dude, you had to.
You had to use this. It was all.
Yeah, you had to close your eyes. You had to like sneak the tissue box out of the bathroom somehow. And you had to like hang up or like magically wake up in the middle of the night. commercial to be playing. At any moment you want. So I think that as brands are developing and, you know, there's hormones kicking in for kids, like it's just so much just influence and so easily, right?
Right, right. And even like I have a lot of guy friends that back in the, again, late 90s, early 2000s, they were like, you know, they're straight now, but like, they were like, yeah, I would like, our friends, we would like touch each other's dicks. And I'm like, oh, really? You guys did that? I'm like, yeah, like it was normal to like just play and explore. So like, I think that's a normal part of sexuality for sure, whether then or now. And but yeah, I mean, personally, you know, the way I tell this is that children's prefrontal cortex, their brain is not fully developed by age 8, 10, 12, 13, 15. We're not developed into our 20s. If I have any conversation with a 17 or 18 year old or a 15 year old right now, like most of them, they're still children, right? They're very much still children. And I know that if I was 8 or 9 or 10 years old, if somebody said to me, Amanda, do you want to be a boy? I would have been like, fuck yeah, sign me up. Because I liked my cousin who was doing Boy Scouts. Their stuff was like a lot more fun than the Girl Scouts. I was making fucking cookie trays and shit. I was like, they're playing with bows and arrows. Like, this sucks. Like, I want to go play with them. And like that's just always how I was. Like, and, you know, I went to like a camp for blind kids growing up. So I love the outdoors. Like, I was just, and I always had more guy friends. My cousins, like, we would just roughhouse all the time with my brother. And I was definitely more masculine in that sense. So yeah, if somebody told me at that age, hey, Amanda, like, do you want to be a boy? I would have been like, tell me more. I'm curious. Okay, well, like, we're going to go talk to a doctor and they can make it help you. Like, there would have to be a whole process for my child brain to be taken through in order to get me from like point A to point Z. And that's where my concern comes in. It's like, how do you take a child from having a conversation about changing who they want to be and actually getting there, whether it's through hormones and surgery? And like, I mean, I could talk for an hour and a half about what hormones do just in a regular person's body versus what it does in a child's body pre and post going through puberty. And it's so hard now to handle my hormones. Like, the emotional challenges that brings to a small child and an undeveloped brain, it's not something that I'm like really in favor of. And I think that that's not always really popular. You see a lot of t-shirts floating around that says save the tomboys because they want to, you know, like try to tell little girls it's okay to be a tomboy. Like, it's you don't have to be a boy just because you want to do this, or vice versa. Like, my brother dressed up as a girl all the time, like when we were little. He's gay now, but like, does he want to be a woman? No. He's a big, buff, burly dude, and he's fine with it. I'm fine with being a slightly more masculine woman, right? And so I think it's about freedom, right? At the end of the day, it's like freedom to choose, freedom to be who you want to be. And if it were my kid, and because I can't speak for everybody, but if it were my kid, they want me to call them a different name for a while. Cool. No doubt. You want to wear whatever clothes you want to wear, fine. But like, to take my kid to a doctor and start a process that is medically intense and can lead to a lot of things, and that doesn't even matter if they want to be a boy or a girl, but just hormonal changes inside of a child's body, that is a huge responsibility. And I just question why a lot of doctors do it and why parents necessarily want to do it so young. And I get it, you want to be supportive, you don't want to be seen as like a parent that isn't loving your child, but like, there has to be some middle ground. And I can't speak for anyone else's situation, but I think if I was in that situation, I would just take it really, really slowly. Really, really, really slowly.
Yeah, like anything great in terms of a decision, you know, it takes time, right? And I think that's a pretty great decision that is going to impact somebody's life forever. And I totally agree with that, just being patient, you know, slow and steady in the right direction. But do you think that because it's more accepted now, that this whole time people actually have been, you know, more gay or bi? You know, it's kind of like, it's almost kind of like health to an extent, right? Where like sometimes you know so much that like you just start going down these rabbit holes, and then you start recognizing every single thing that's wrong with your mind, your body. And then you become, I call it like a personal development junkie, where
right,
it's like
orthorexia.
Yeah. It's like you're just trying to always find that next problem. So do you think that this number of people, and when I say this number of people, meaning it's obviously increasing people's sexuality, being bi, gay, you know, trans, whatever it is.
Right, right.
You think it's been like this the whole time, or?
That's the debate, right? It's like, oh, is everyone coming out because now it's okay for them to come out? I mean, there's some crazy theories out there. There's people who think it's like related to like vaccines being administered when you're a kid. So like there's embryos and vaccines, and if you take a male one and put it in a female and make her gay, like there's like really wild theories out there. But yeah, is it like football in Texas? It's like if everybody loves football, you're probably going to like football, right? I think there's always a certain aspect of like everything, you know, nurture for sure. Like if you feel comfortable to explore something, whether it's sexuality, a sport, a topic, right? If your dad is a mechanic, like you're probably going to get exposed to being a mechanic, and maybe you do have an inclination towards it, or maybe you don't, like, you don't know, but, I'm sure the greater influence, whether it's sexuality or anything else, like is an impact, like 1000%. I think it's kind of hard to avoid. Like if I didn't have gay friends in high school, maybe I would have spent some more time thinking about it. I'm sure I still would have been gay, but maybe I wouldn't have been so like comfortable with being gay if I didn't have those friends right away. And I think that's just a really open and honest thought, right? It's not attacking anybody. And, you know, I was a philosophy major, so we were literally trained to like debate both sides, like all the time of everything. So, you know, I know what's true for me, and I will never tell anybody else what's true for them. But I think that, yeah, for sure, it's if you can be more free, great, and that's who you are, great. But of course, there's that line of like, are you also forcing someone to be something that they're not just so they can fit in, right? Like I have friends who have kids that are teenagers, and they're like, it's weird to not be gay in school. Like, it's weird to not be bi. And they like think about it. They're like, okay, like, yeah, I don't think I am. And the mom's just like, okay, cool. Like the mom's like, either way, like it's fine. But if I think it comes down to confidence too, right? I think at that age, it's so hard. If everybody's doing one thing and you feel insecure and you feel like you don't know who you are, it's very easy, whether it's sexuality, a sport or whatever, to just kind of like go into something, because we were all meant to be in tribes, right? It's a very primal instinct of ours. And so if we were outside of the tribe, we died. So it's the same exact thing, but just on a much lower level now. Like you won't die because, you know, you didn't join, you know, choir at school, or you didn't become a lesbian. But if feeling ostracized does feel like death to like a 12 or 13 year old kid, because you need to find like your tribe in school. And if you don't have that, like you get bullied, you get picked on, you don't have friends. Same thing, prisons, right? If you don't join a gang, like it's going to be very hard for you to survive in there. So it's just a primal thing that happens in humans. And I think people need to just like zoom out and give a little bit more thought, as opposed to just having like these two crazy sides of like, it's right or it's wrong. It's like, why don't we look back or zoom out and see why it's really happening? And then figure it out from there, case by case.
Yeah, I think the vaccines and lifestyle and just everything in people's environment can influence everything. So I think it will be interesting to see those that are choosing the farmstead route, living off with no vaccines, if their kids will just be like 100% male, female, straight, like, you know.
Look at the Amish, right? The Amish, yeah. They're pure. They're untouched. They don't get any of the diseases, lifestyle diseases that we get. I don't know if they have gay people. I'm sure there's some.
Yeah, there's a couple in there.
Yeah, they're definitely healthier than we are, 1,000%.
The Amish got it figured out. I said that early on in one of the episodes. I'm like, man, these people had it figured out this whole time. And I'm from Ohio, so.
Oh, yeah, you see them all.
I've seen it in real life where you're like, yo, these people, like, build a barn in a day. That's crazy. They're not on Instagram, and they didn't even have a podcast to get the next deal. You know, like how the hell are they scaling this business out?
And they do, what is it, Rumspringer, right? Where they allow you to leave. They're like, go see the world. And if you want to come back, come back. Like that's beautiful. Like I don't agree with everything that they do, but like, how do you, they're not forcing anyone to stay.
I've thought about this. I think we should get them to wear like GoPros and get like an intake form. That like, you know, what one of you touch some wieners out there, ribs ran out there. Like, I think we should get this documented to be like, all right, now we know. This gives us a little bit more unbiased evidence.
I love it.
But I like your mindset on it because, you know, I've talked about this with quite a few people. And again, I'm just a curious person in terms of having a podcast show. And, you know, you're like, yeah, I'm curious in different ways. But I think every guy, no matter how manly or masculine, like there's definitely had to have been at least one moment where you're like,
yeah,
why?
You've at least thought about it.
Yeah. And it's not, maybe you didn't have enough gay friends buying you drinks at the bar. I don't know.
That, and I mean, when you're watching porn, you're also watching a naked man too, right? So it's like, it's not like it's never in your mind. And, you know, you could, I don't know, guys, I have no idea what you guys think in your brains, but, you know.
Yeah. I think my overall, I guess you could say, opinion or feedback on this entire topic is similar to anyone else when it comes to any other type of topic is like, hey, as long as you are happy and healthy and confident in this decision, you know, good for you. And
yeah, I guess,
well, it's just one of those debatable topics that's like very, controversial, like,
button. Yeah,
tricky one. It's like tricky.
Well, but, like I was telling you before, like the beautiful thing about America is that we're free, right? We're free to have these options and these choices. There are, unfortunately, people in other countries who get murdered like that for being gay, right? So I get to be gay here, which is really great. And I enjoy
it. Person will murder you for being gay, but they're cheating on their wife.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's like,
probably with a man too, right?
Yeah, exactly. With another guy. They're like, you're a fucking queer, but I just got my shit packed last Saturday. But because you got caught, you're dead. It's fucking crazy.
Right, right. Yeah, and it's a shame, right? And my heart bleeds for people in any sort of case like that, where just whether it's like the girls in Rwanda, right, who are having these horrific mutilation ceremonies done to them, and also like we live in a fucked up world in a lot of ways. And so I'm just very grateful to be in a place where, you know, yes, it's not perfect. You know, of course, like gay people still get beat up or whatever, but like I also have the ability to, like, most of the time, like if I had to move, if I had to figure something out, like maybe it's because I'm in the Northeast, like I'm in a little bubble of safety. I think that's also a reality that people, you know, take for granted. But, you know, I'm just grateful to be able to be who I am, for sure.
Like I said, mad props to you, because you had to earn that shit. You're like,
I had to actually come out.
you were under the bleachers at the high school football game.
Right. Something like that.
So I got mad respect. It always makes me laugh because I'm like, yo, this group over here, they earned that shit. They paved the way. They paved back road.
Save the tomboys. Yeah. We're a fun group. We're the best. You know, actually, in Native American cultures, they used to really highlight the people who were more androgynous, right? Men or women who encompass both masculine and feminine energy, because they saw them as great seers, right? Because you had both embodied in you. And that's kind of how I feel. I think there's this beautiful thing where I can tap into my masculine and my feminine in business. And business really tended to make me more masculine in a lot of ways. It's very easy to take advantage of a woman, and especially in like a brick and mortar situation. The fan would break, the walk-in would break, a guy comes in, it's $1,200. I'm like, what the fuck? Why is that $1,200? Like, it just looks like this little fan is broken. Oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, hold the fuck up, dude. Go online, Google some shit. I'm like, this motor is $60. Why are you charging me $1,250? Which, you know, I got to get out. Like, and yet step into my masculine, like take the whole thing down, fix it myself for $200, and call on a day. But then also have the feminine energy of, like, you know, when a customer comes in and they're crying and they're like, hey, my mom just got diagnosed with cancer, I want to get her some bone broth. I'm just like, hey, what else do you need? Do you need like some supplement recommendations? And so that's always been my beautiful gift, is being able to like bounce back and forth between the soft skills of being feminine and the hard skills of being masculine.
Spot. Have you ever been with a guy?
Yes, I have been with a guy. Not dated, but
you hooked up
back in the day. It's been a long time. It's been a long time. But yeah, when you're in college and you're trying to figure your shit out, you know.
Okay.
But so it's usually the opposite. They say bye until graduation for girls, but I was like, the other way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, I think that would be another argument, is like, you know, if someone's lesbian or gay, it's like, yo, bro, you've never had pussy.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the lesbians have never you may not have got dick down good enough. You know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
you just drive the car, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's a whole world. Like, and there's people who think, like, you know, you live like past lives, and like maybe you're male or female in the past life and you carry that into this life. Like, there's, who knows? Like, we just don't know anything. And that's why everyone should just not take life too seriously as much as you can.
Yeah. Or have, like, what I've learned over the years as well, and I get so passionate about things like these type of topics, where, like, you know, I found God over the last year or so, and I'm still in that journey and process. And I talked to some Christian friends and they're like, dude, that's like the first sin, because, you know, God put us on here to reproduce. And if, you know, two lesbians or two males, and it's like, yeah, but I don't, like, aren't we not supposed to judge people too? Why do I care about what they're doing? And like, I don't know, they're pretty cool. And I like to get facials as well, bro. Like, you know, it's so that's what I've learned in my well is just, and especially having a podcast show, because, you know, a lot of times we're giving our opinions and we're giving our point. We're trying to make
right.
Flip and get the content out and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, I think just sometimes have an open-ended conversation where you're not quite sure where you're technically at, and talking it through is helpful. But I think really what it comes down to to circle this all back around is whether it's sexuality or whether it's something else that you have going on in your life. I think it comes down to what you're consuming, right? In terms of what actual food, what you're putting in your mouth, but also what you're putting in your ears as well, what you're listening to, what you're watching, what you're consuming on a day-to-day basis, because that's ultimately likely what's going to be the output, right?
It's what's influences going
internally in. So I think it's a deeper conversation, but I don't think really anyone has the answer to it. I mean, I'm like,
I don't know why I'm gay. I'm just gay, but I'm also awesome and love business and love philosophy and cats and outdoor. Like, you know, everyone just has so many facets to themselves. And we always feel they need to like label things and be part of tribe so that we're accepted and we survive. But like, I just encourage everyone.
Knees down, you know, you have to down and you can only do this. Silly.
Crazy, man. Silly. Yeah. Just be yourself.
So you have a free community for entrepreneurs that are, you know, going through, you know, some chronic health conditions, or maybe they just want to be a part of the team, people that want to be positive and help each other and live a happier, healthier lifestyle. And there's always, you know, obstacles in the way, and maybe people's life are good, right? So it's not necessarily coming from a negative stance that like, you have to be feeling like shit, look like shit. You have to be stressed. You have a community where you're empowering people and they're empowering others. But I am curious on the monetization side, on particularly the podcast and just other things that you have going on, how you're bringing an income stream.
Yeah, sure.
Exact numbers or exact details, of course, share what you feel comfortable with. But I am curious on you know, what you're doing to make things happen.
Yeah, totally. So after I sold my restaurant, that was nice. That was just like the first success of like building something and selling it. And because it was such a unique kind of brand, it was definitely just really special for me. And then took the summer off, and I had like a little consulting job working for a company that makes gluten sensors. It actually, you put food in it and it tells you whether or not it's safe to eat for celiac, which is cool. But I don't do well with a lot of like jobs. I just love building my own thing, right? And I like helping other people, but definitely like building my own stuff. So the podcast came about because after being in this town in New Jersey for 6 years, my business, I looked back and realized what I really struggled with. And now, especially in 23 and 24, it's like content is everything, right? And so most business owners are so busy in the day-to-day grind that they don't have time to market their businesses really well, especially with visual content. So most businesses end up putting ads in papers, or they do some like online SEO stuff, or run ads or do whatever. And it's fine. It's better than nothing, but it doesn't really tell the story of who they are and why they do what they do. And for me, I was really successful in my restaurant because I was so authentic about telling my story about, you know, how I had gotten sick and changed my diet. And now here's all this food that I make for you guys so you can be healthy too. And most businesses don't have time to do that. So the way I monetize the podcast, which was really interesting, was that, and I actually teach people how to do this too, if anyone's interested in learning. I essentially turned it into a marketing package, and I partnered with a few other people who also do marketing in the area and created this umbrella one-stop shop for people. So people who either had not been advertising for a while and needed to start new business, or they were new businesses, or people who had just done all the normal stuff and want to do something new, where they come on, they do a 25-minute show. We have a full built-out studio here in our office, and we create really high-quality content for them on the podcast. And then we could actually also do short-form content for them as well. So all the cool videos everyone sees, you know, you guys have a really great editing team who do stuff like that for the small businesses. So that they can authentically tell their story and share their mission, because people just connect to people, right? Our motto here is people buy shit from people that they like and trust. So if they see you on camera versus see you with just like a paper ad, then it's going to make a world of difference. And people, the outcome of it has been really great. We have 24 episodes so far. We have 15,000 views. We are just, the businesses are seeing a huge bump. So that's really cool. That was really exciting. And obviously we charge for that. So I'm like anywhere between 1,000 and 2,000, depending on the package that they get. And we do between 4 and 8 episodes a month. So it adds up, which is nice. Then we sell them additional services. I do also do one-on-one coaching. I have a free school community. I'm actually pausing the community right now because my mom, unfortunately, just got diagnosed with cancer. So I'm helping her get all sorted out with that and try to get her better. But I'm still doing the one-on-one coaching for entrepreneurs with chronic illness. So for someone who is like kicking ass, but you're starting out to feel good, you're not really sure. And also, if you just don't feel well, you don't have to have a chronic illness. I do one-to-one there. And also do some consulting with like in the restaurant industry too. People who are crazy enough to get started in that business, I help them out.
I'm so worried about your model. Yeah, sorry to hear about that. That's never,
yeah, no, it's, you know, it's crazy because I've been saying this for years, and this is one thing I always worry about for just our country and our entrepreneurs in general is I think we're about to see this ginormous influx of people being sick. And like, how are we supposed to grow our economy if people are unwell all the time and the strain it's going to put on the health system? I mean, we were in the hospital last week. Not enough nurses, not enough doctors, not enough staff. I mean, out. My mom, it took 4 days to get 2 scans in a hospital. Like, it was crazy. So I think people don't think about the repercussions long term of being unwell and what that's going to do to just our infrastructure and our systems and how it relates to business in general. Like, if you have a staff that is physically unwell, if they're eating shit, if they're not taking care of themselves, what is going to be their output of work over the next 10, 15, 20 years? And I would not be surprised if we start to see the numbers of people going on disability, younger happening. Just from chronic illness. I mean, high blood pressure, heart disease, all this stuff. Like, some people are, you know, having adverse reactions to vaccines or to COVID, right? To both. They have long COVID. I know tons of people who haven't been able to go back to work in just the last 3 years. So what is this going to turn into when we continue to be fed pesticides? We think that for it is normal. Stress keeps rising. And we have all these other environmental factors making us sick. It's unfortunately one of my predictions that I think is going to be a big wake-up call for us in the next 5 years is how sick people are getting, how it affects our economy.
Yeah, and that's outside of sexuality, maybe the next best controversial topic, which is the migrants coming or immigrants or whatever you want to call people that are coming in through the border. I think people have a very valid point as to why they could be potentially upset as to why they're just allowing people to come in and they're giving them, you know, stipends and money and places to sleep. But there is, I mean, there just has to be a massive financial incentive for the United States economy to say, well, hey, do you want your rent in New York to still be $5,000 a month for that closet? Because if you do, or anywhere in the world, or you want your steak at the restaurant to still be $50 and not $60, we may need these people to come in to staff these areas. Or because obesity, from my understanding, just exceeded hunger, right?
Wow. I haven't seen the stat, but I believe you. Because yeah, it's probably so true.
Do your own research on that. I think I saw that early this morning or maybe late last night, where I think in the first time, like statistically speaking, people are more obese than people are hungry, which I don't know if that's good or bad.
Well, that means we're probably solving a lot of the hunger issues, which would be good. Over time, I know that's definitely improving, but hopefully at a faster rate than people being obese, but I guess not.
Take your poison, I guess, right?
So. Yeah, that's a bummer, man. Both are bad, obviously. And they always tell us that we can't produce enough food on this planet. It's like, we waste so much food. Like, there's so much overproduction, and we just, especially when it's real food, it doesn't stay good forever. You have to do something with it. If you can't eat it, then, or get it to where it needs to go, of course, it's going to go bad and it's going to be wasted, but I don't know, this, especially in New Jersey. So like, we're actually dealing with something right now where the buses are coming from Texas and the other lower states into New Jersey because they just passed a rule where they can't go directly into New York anymore. So they'll drop them off at the train stations, actually in our town, Westfield, Vanwood, anywhere here. And then they end up going to the city. And it's like, one, I mean, just from a humanitarian standpoint, it's like, it sucks for them, right? They're trying to escape persecution. Their life sucks. Like, if I was in their situation and I could go somewhere and have a better life, like, I would probably do it too. Like real talk. Like, I understand why they're doing it. How do we fix that? I don't know. Same thing like the homeless problem, right? We have resources that we're not, the system's broken, right? The way that we are using our resources is not always able to actually work in the way that we intended to work, and whether it's because of human behavior or lack of staffing or just lack of common sense. But yeah, I mean, it's like anything else. Like, there has to be an infrastructure for us to support people. And I don't think that we have it, unfortunately. If we did, that would be amazing. But as of right now, it's the way that our budgets are, is at least in New Jersey. I can't really speak for other states. I don't know too much about New York, but it's like, yeah, how do you support everybody? Where do you put them? I saw actually something in Massachusetts where maybe right outside of Boston or in Boston, they turned a rec center that was for like a black neighborhood into a place for the refugees and the migrants. And those neighbors are upset. Like, they're like, this is where we go. Like, this is where we come for resources. If we need something, this is where our kids play basketball. And so, you know, like, obviously I would be upset too in that situation. Like, this is where I live. And now you're going to take away like the one little thing that I have that makes my life like better and give it to somebody else. And like, that sucks. Like that, it sucks for both sides, right? But it's like, how do we fix it? And I don't think anybody has the answer. I think that's the bigger problem. We could all fight like who's right and who's wrong. But again, zoom out and go, okay, from a higher angle, what is the actual way to fix it? And maybe it's, yeah, whether it's closing the border and slowing down the bleeding, or maybe some people go to Canada. I don't know. I am not.
Or do we actually need this as a country? Like, we need it in order for inflation to not skyrocket like Venezuela. Because you're bitching about somebody going to the rec center, but maybe they're the one that you don't even know. They're maybe the one that you're paying to clean your house, or maybe making your trash out. They're the one that's grilling the burger downstairs. You know what I mean? Like,
listen, dude, I had such a hard time hiring people in my restaurant because people who live here don't also want to do that work too. So it's like, you know, in some industries, it's like, I'll take anybody who wants to work. Like, I don't care like what color you are, what language. Like, I need people who can produce right now. And it's like, especially with $15 an hour being the minimum wage, and like, you know, you get a high school kid and you're essentially teaching them how to work. Like, it's really hard, right? Versus you get someone who comes here from another country who's so grateful. And, you know, but then on the other side, there's people coming over here from other countries that are killing people. And it's like, we can't just group everybody into one segment because everybody's different. But I don't know what the solution is. Like, I definitely think that we're going to see the repercussions of this now in 2 to 3 years for sure. Like, we're seeing it now, but it's going to be worse, I think.
Is it pretty bad? Is it pretty bad? Are you seeing like frame
in New York? Yeah, in New York, not New Jersey. I don't know exactly. That's not, honestly, that's one of those things. Like, I'm so focused on making money and building businesses that I don't over consume this type of stuff. Like, I'm aware of it, and my heart goes out to people for sure.
When I say bad, like, is it, or that, like, we also don't know what's being told to them and the promise.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who knows? Like, right? They're, go like, here, you'll be fine.
You know, they're like, are they being negatively affected? Are they breaking into things? Are they
not in New Jersey? I mean, in New York, I don't, as far as I haven't heard any like monster stories. Like, I've only heard like, I think in the South, a girl was killed by somebody who's undocumented. But like, you could have been here for 10 years. Who the hell knows, right? But they'll take that story and they'll sensationalize it and, you know, get us to think whatever they want about the stuff now. And I think that's where people need to be self-aware of too, is like, do your own research. Like, we're all going to hear stuff, but like, what's the real story, right? There's a three sides to every story, they say. We just,
yeah, maybe four or five or six, we're at my multiple, we're identifying something different, you know. You never know, maybe there are multiple races and everything. It's a tricky, I like this controversial stuff because it's not necessarily to like pick on one side or whatever. I think it just tries to do your best to also see the good in things and keep it, if you can, a little lighthearted as well. Because yeah, it's sexuality, immigration, life, you know,
I don't know. I'm not an expert in any of them. Maybe it's the sexuality, but no.
Yeah. Gun laws, what women can do, for birth control or all that stuff.
Yeah. Women's health is, yeah, the big one, but another time.
Amanda, I appreciate your time. And, I genuinely had a good time chatting with you. Much respect to everything that you've done, you're continuing to do, things that you've gone through. I appreciate your vulnerability, sharing your story, sharing
to get
and being, and, you know, taking my craziness, lighthearted as well. Because, yeah, I really enjoy your perspective and the ability to teach how you think through things and how you articulate things. So much respect for helping everyone you've helped as well. So if anyone wants to work with you, they want to connect with you, we'll have all your info below, but yeah, maybe just shout out what you got going on again.
Going way to get in touch with me is on Instagram, probably through my page there. It's Fettle Founder, FETTLE. Fettle is the name of my restaurant, means to be in good health or in good condition. So people always ask me what that means. On there, I have links for stuff. So my mind, body, business, mastery, there's a quiz you could take, see if you'd be a good fit to work with me. My school community is there. You can join it. I'm going to kick it back up in a month or two after I get my mom back on track. But that's free. I do a couple calls every week just if someone is into health and wellness, or entrepreneurship. But I'm definitely open for the one-on-one coaching. And then if you're someone who wants to make some side hustle, like especially photographers, videographers, people who want to learn how to make short-form content for other people, I'm also teaching that right now because it's a great way. Like I filmed with somebody yesterday, and you know, it's just so fun. It's kind of like this, doing the podcast. You spend, you know, a couple hours with somebody and you film and you bring out their message. It's a really cool thing to do for someone who just wants to earn a little something on the side.
Well, Amanda, again, it's been a pleasure, and I definitely want to have you on again, and we'll have to do this next one in person. How about that?
Sounds good. Well, now that you're just a few states away, we can do that.
Let's do it.